to be with each of you today and this week. Very thankful for the invitation to be with you for this gospel meeting. Very thankful for all of the preparation that has gone into the success of this meeting. Let us continue. Appreciate very much the prayer a few minutes ago. Let us continue to be prayerful for the work this week. Thankful for the congregation here, for the elders, for Brother Steve and Sister Angie, and for their years of labor here. It's good to be with them again. Thankful for what they mean to my family. And also, it's great to be with the Smiths again. We have enjoyed their visits down to the coast. Also, appreciate very much the song leading this morning and the scripture reading. Again, it's great to be with each of you. Mentioned a while ago that I am from Alabama, born and raised in the particular area is Montgomery. Have lived Tuscaloosa, quite a few places in Alabama. I won't name them all, but know the state rather well. But this is one area that I'm not as familiar with. Have passed, gone through up I-65 here by your community. And have been looking forward to being with you in this area. I thought, well, do I mention if I'm an Alabama fan or an Auburn fan? And I thought, well, I may not want to make any enemies this early in the week. But anyway, I will say that, let me put it this way, Auburn is my second favorite team. But anyway, good to be with you all this morning. In Luke 12:15, Jesus said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Verses 16 through 21. Again, we are thankful for the scripture reading a few moments ago, but let us turn there again and notice it for emphasis. Luke 12:16 through 21. "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" Notice the I complex. "And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Someday, each of us will be on the other side of life's great divide. This is just a fact of life. In this parable, Jesus spoke of a man who had made some serious mistakes in his life. His greatest mistake was that he left God out of his life. He talked about his barns. He talked about his goods, his fruits. Not one time did you notice that not one time did he give God any credit. Many people in the world today are traveling that same path. They are leaving God out of their lives. Another mistake this man made was that he left other human beings out of his life. He referred to his goods. He was going to pull down his barns and build greater to store his produce. It seems he did not see the hungry who could have been helped without much sacrifice. He was thinking of himself, himself only. Another mistake that he made was feeling that he had a perpetual lease on life. His business mind assured him that he had plenty of goods laid up for many years. He thought that he was going to live longer than he actually would. He thought that he could satisfy his soul with things stored in a barn, material things, produce, likely corn and wheat. But he would learn that he would never satisfy his soul's need with things that you store in a barn. Material things will never satisfy our greatest need, and that being those of the soul. So the man made a lot of mistakes, and he was faced with the ultimate finality of this life, his death. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Some are going to leave this world unexpectedly. Some are going to leave this world suddenly. What would we want to know? God told the man in this parable that he would die that night. What would we want to know if we had just a few more hours to live? One, would we not want to know that we would leave a good influence behind? Every one of us has an influence. Each of us has an influence on others. Because of our influence, we will be either steps to heaven or stumbling blocks. In Matthew 5:13, Jesus said of God's children, "Ye are the salt of the earth." What does salt do? Well, one thing it does is it preserves. We, as Christians, are to have a preserving influence on society. Jesus continues in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We're to be lights in this dark world of sin. On a little girl's tombstone were the words, "It was easier to be good while she was with us." Would not that be a wonderful epitaph for our tombstone? Two, if we had just a few more hours to live, would we not want to know that we had influenced others for Christ? We need to care about souls. We need to care about soul winning. David was running from Saul in Psalm 142 and verse 4 when he wrote, "No man cared for my soul." Can we imagine how he felt? We need to care. God cares. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son. God cares. God the Father cares. Jesus cares. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends," John 15:13. And the Holy Spirit cares. The third person of the Godhead cares. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come," Revelation 22:17. Heaven cares. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth, Luke 15:10. But have you thought about that even torments cares? In Luke 16, there was a rich man in torments who had five brothers. He wanted for Lazarus to go and preach to his brothers, lest they come also into that awful place. Verse 28, we need to care for souls. 3. If we had just a few more hours to live, would we not want to know that we are saved? Too many Christians, when asked if they are saved, respond, "I think so. I hope so." But we can know we are saved. As Christians, we are not perfect people. If we could live perfect lives, then we would not need the blood of Christ. But if we walk in the light of God's Word, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's notice that comforting passage. Turn to 1 John 1:6-9. 1 John 1:6-9. We can know we are saved. Let's start with verse 6. We say that we have fellowship with Him, God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Notice, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The blood of Christ, which we contacted in baptism, continues to cleanse us of sin. Coming up yesterday, the rain was just beating down as I got nearer here. But you know what? Those windshield wipers wiped away that rain. The blood of Christ wipes away our sins as we repent of those things that we do that are not in keeping with God's will. Notice verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But notice verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can know that. We can be sure. 2 Peter 1:10 says, "Give diligence to make your calling and election sure." So Peter says we can be sure. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 1. For we know. Notice that it's not an "we think so." For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, our earthly lives with our physical bodies, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For we know. No speculation there. Notice 1 John 2:3. 1 John 2 and verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him. How do we know that we know Him? How can we be certain about our salvation? Well, the verse answers that for us as we continue. It says, if we keep His commandments. Now, do we know that we are saved? If we had just a few more hours to live, we would want to know that, would we not? We can be sure that we are saved, that we are ready to be saved, if we have faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. In John 8:24, Jesus said, "For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." Further, we can be sure that we are ready to be saved if we repent of our sins. Listen to Jesus in Luke 13:3. Except thou repent, thou shalt all likewise perish. Acts 17:30 says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So we must be willing to turn from our sins. What is repentance? Repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of life. Furthermore, we can be sure that we are ready to be saved if we confess that Jesus is God's Son. The Ethiopian eunuch made the good confession in Acts 8:37. They were riding along in the chariot, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He made the good confession. Why do we confess the name of Jesus? He tells us why in Matthew 10:32-33. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." As a penitent believer, ready to be saved, we must be willing to, before others, affirm, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Did you notice there that Paul said, not into salvation, but unto salvation? Then we can be sure that we are saved when we are scripturally baptized. Baptism is a burial in water. Let's turn to Colossians 2 and verse 12. Colossians 2, verse 12. Notice the first five words. Buried with him in baptism. Buried with Christ. Baptism is a burial. The verse continues, "Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God." Baptism is an act of faith in God who hath raised him from the dead. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16:16. Many people want to quibble about baptism, but would man have understood that passage if Jesus had said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall receive $1,000,000? I believe man would have understood that. I believe we may have, even when we got here to the building this morning, there may have been a line of people waiting to come in and be baptized. But we are talking about something far greater than money, friends. We are talking about the salvation of our souls. We can know we are saved when we are immersed in water for the remission of our sins. Acts 2:38. It is then that we have contacted Jesus' saving blood and been added to the Lord's body, the church. As a Christian, we can know we remain saved as we stay faithful to Christ. Jesus told the brethren at Smyrna, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Revelation 2:10. Jesus said, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." Matthew 10:22. If we had just a few more hours to live, we would want to know we are saved, would we not? A farmer needed a farm worker. He placed an ad in the local newspaper offering food and lodging to a willing worker. The only person who applied was an 18-year-old. The farmer wanted somebody with a little more experience, but he had no choice but to hire him. A terrible storm arose the first night that young man was on the job. The farmer rushed into the youngster's room. "Wake up, wake up. We've got to get things in and secured. We have to get the cows in. We have to cover the hay. We have to get the machinery into the barn." The young man rolled over, opened one eye, and said, "I can sleep when the wind blows." He rolled back over and he went to sleep. In disgust, the farmer threw up his arms and said, "I'll have to do it myself." He went out to the barn, and the cows were in. The hay was covered, and the machinery put away. Only then did he understand the young man's words, "I can sleep when the wind blows." The young man had made preparation. When the howling winds of eternity knock on our door, will we be prepared? And they will come. Will we be ready? Have you come to Christ in obedience to His gospel? Have you responded to the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you have not, will you do so this morning? Be at peace when the wind blows. As a child of God, if we have been unfaithful, God longs to forgive us. He will when we come back to Him. We're thankful for His grace and for His mercy. We're thankful that He is the God of the second chance. If we are subject to His invitation, will we respond as together we stand and sing?